Get started with our. This will be the shortest Bible study ever. Let's maybe go 15 minutes, and maybe we could cut it off at 11:50 there, and that gets you back in time for the football game. So, we already prayed. So we can use this time however you like. We can either do a couple verses of Revelation. Maybe I'll ask first, as I usually do, anything from the service or the readings, the sermon.
Just the one line: the unrighteous. Well,
yeah,
that line.
Yeah,
it says that we should use unrighteous wealth. I don't have it in front of me here.
Right. I think unrighteous wealth.
But it says, I tell you, make friends for yourselves by means of unrighteous wealth.
Yeah.
So that when it fails, they may receive you into the eternal wealth.
Yeah.
It just seems a little.
Yeah, I think it's not so much like wealth that is morally bad, but just wealth that isn't coming from heaven for your righteousness. I guess is more the way I'd take it. Or maybe another way of thinking about it is like temporal wealth that you're not going to be able to keep for eternity, but you only have in this time. So like in the parable, the manager only had the management of the rich man's wealth for a short time before he was going to be fired. So he made use of that to secure a dwelling for him after he was fired. So I think that's what it's getting at. So for instance, like as Christians, we do not believe that money is the root of all evil. It's the love of money that's root of all evil, right? So like it's okay to be rich and wealthy. It's what you do with it and recognizing it. Who it belongs to, and how you can bless other people, as we just learned, right? So I think that's more what it's getting at. Really, really weird parable, though, isn't it? You know, yeah.
Oh, thank you.
Anything else from the service today?
Yeah, I was just I was confused, but you tied it all together. But now I forgot the part that I was confused about. But I just know that I was confused, but then you tied it all together. I think you said Jesus is asking you to be, and I can't remember the word, shrewd. Yes, and then I was confused with that.
Yeah.
But then you tied it.
Yeah, you know, and that's why I introduced like the conversation of martyrdom, you know, martyrs are the least shrewd when it comes to this world. They're the most shrewd when it comes to the world to come, right? So it's using what you have in this time and place for eternity, right? And you know, martyrs give witness to others, to the faith, so that others might be received in eternal dwellings, right? So yeah, it's how you use or aim your shrewdness,
yeah.
You know? Yeah.
I've thought recently about King Solomon and how he was so shrewd, and the two women both said they were mother to baby.
Yeah.
And sometimes I wish I could be that shrewd in life, that have that kind of a choice to give a person that would lead to something that would provoke honesty and that the real mother would have said, you know, go ahead.
Right. Yeah. You know, I think praying for shrewdness, praying for wisdom, you know, yeah, that's a good thing to pray for.
I always thought of shrewdness as being a negative.
Yeah.
You know, but.
Well, usually because it is used for slimy business deals, right?
Yeah.
So I think that's why Jesus, like, you know, says, you know, the children of light, the sons of light are not shrewd. In this age, like this generation is with their own, you know, like this generation only knows how to be shrewd with the world and the worldly things. If anything, Christians should be kind of dumb or dull headed when it comes to being shrewd in the ways of the world, but being instead focusing on being shrewd in eternity. Yeah. Anything else from the readings? This is one of those Sundays where you look at the gospel reading. You know, if you're a pastor or a preacher, you look at the gospel reading and say, oh, that's gonna be hard to preach on. And then you look at the epistle reading on women being silent in church, you go, well, I mean, the gospel reading wasn't so bad, you know. So so cool. All right, well, I think we've got like maybe 8 minutes left to talk about Revelation. We can do a quick Revelation thing unless anybody's got some hot burning questions. Yes, so I'll pass these around. So here's the outline.
This is last week.
Yep. Last week we had both the introduction and the outline. I'll pass those around. And then here, you can keep this for next week as well. Here is the questions for our first passage. Yep. So the format is a little bit different than how we did it for Mark. I've got more questions to kind of lead us through. I kind of thought about the format for this stuff, and Mark was a lot more tight, where you could kind of read a passage and then talk about it. We'll still do that, but Revelation, there's just a lot more to notice, and I was finding it difficult to like put it into that three-question format that I had for Mark. So I think that I'm not going to be as much of a stickler of getting one sheet done per week. If we do a sheet and takes a, you know, 1.5 sessions together or something like that, then that's okay. So I think we got Revelation 1 through 20 going around.
Does anybody need a folder for your papers?
All right. So with about 5 minutes left, shortest Bible study ever. Why don't we go ahead and would somebody read out loud? And the sheet's still going around, I think. Somebody read out loud verses 1 through 8 of Revelation chapter 1.
Sure.
All right, Mike is going to read for us.
It's the prologue. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave and showed to his servants, the things that must soon take place. He made it known by sending his angel to his servant, John, who bore witness to the word of God and to the testimony of Jesus Christ, even to all that he saw. Blessed is the one who reads aloud the words of the prophecy. Blessed are those who hear and who keep what is written in it, for the time is near. John to the seven churches that are in Asia. Grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of kings on earth. To him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood, and has made us a kingdom, a priest to his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him, and all tribes of the earth will wail on account of him. Even so, amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty.
Wonderful. Thank you for reading. All right, so what we might do is we might just do number one today, see how far we get. But the first one asks, how does John describe what Revelation is, where it comes from, and what it is for? All right, maybe we'll start there. So in what Mike just read for us, verses 1 through 8, how do you see those things? What Revelation is, where it comes from, and what it's for?
Well, it's the Word of God. It came to man.
Yep.
It came through Jesus Christ.
Yep. Word of God through Jesus Christ.
He says it's a prophecy.
Yep. Where does he say that?
Blessed is the one who reads aloud the words of this prophecy.
Yep.
Well, it says it back in the very beginning, right? It's a revelation of Jesus Christ.
Right, right. So who's revealing it?
Jesus.
Yep. And yeah, God, which God gave to Jesus, right? So it's a revelation, and it's a prophecy. What do you think it's a revelation or a prophecy of?
End of times.
Yeah, what's to come? End of times. All right. And so how does Jesus give this revelation or prophecy or witness?
Send his angels to his servant John.
Yep. Sends his angels to his servant John. What else?
Wasn't it in the vision? Vision, yeah.
Yeah, in the vision. Yep. You could also say it this way, that Jesus both gives this revelation to John in and through this vision, and also this is consistent with what Jesus witnessed to all throughout his life, death, and resurrection. All that kind of stuff, right? So this is like the ongoing work of Jesus. So I think last week I mentioned that Revelation is like Acts, and that the book of Acts is like what happens right after Jesus ascends into heaven. And Acts is maybe a better title for it is the Acts of Jesus, because the apostles all throughout the book of Acts viewed it as the ongoing ministry of Jesus himself through his word and through his church, and through the apostles and disciples who are being made. So the whole idea of the book of Acts is that Jesus has left, but he also hasn't left. Like, he's still just as active as he was even when he was present. Revelation is kind of saying the same thing, right? This is what Jesus is always about, and Jesus is still Lord, and he's revealing God's truth and God's ways, right? And so it's about the end of time, all right? And then what is it for? So it comes from God through Jesus and through a vision. And then what is it for? What is it for? What is the revelation for?
Bear witness of God's
word. Bear witness of God's word. It gives you what to take place.
To encourage.
To encourage. There's also another word in there in verse 3. What happens to those who hear? Bless it. Yep. And it blesses them. How does it bless them? Yeah. Gives them assurance, strengthens their faith. Yep. That they might partake in, I think last week we talked about how positively Revelation speaks of the church and of God's people, that they might be numbered among those who are in that and enjoying the promises of God, right? Good, good. Anything else from those? Let's just do those first three verses. Anything else from those? We'll look at next week for verses 4 through 8 and then beyond when we have more time. Anything else from those three verses, though?
You know, I think the one part verse 3, blesses one who reads aloud the words of this prophecy, wasn't a one-time thing.
Right.
It's for each and every one of us. Every single time we read God's word,
Yep. And then by the way, you see the word witness in verse 2. So this is talking about John, who bore witness to the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. And then if you skip ahead, I'm kind of stealing thunder from next week a little bit, but skip ahead to verse 5. What does it say? And from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness. The word for witness there in Greek comes from the word martos. Or martyrs, martyr, right? So in this sense, you can kind of think like we kind of have two ways of talking about martyrs in the church. One is like in a pretty specific way, and we kind of like use it to describe somebody who's died for their faith, right? And gives a witness to the faith because of that. But in another sense, we are all martyrs and that we're all witnesses, right? So I think next week what I'll do is one of the questions we'll ask is how is Jesus a martyr for the faith? How is he a witness of the faith? And of course he died, but also we think about like, what does it mean that Jesus witnesses the faith to us, right? So this all builds up to like the meat and potatoes in Revelation that you're all familiar with. So I think we'll end there. Again, shortest Bible study ever. Thank you guys. And we'll see you next week. Can I go ahead and pray for us? Let's pray. Lord Jesus Christ, we give you thanks and praise that you have revealed God's plan to us, that you make us like your servant John, faithful witnesses of who you are and what you've done, and that it's not our words that we speak, but your words. So we ask, Lord, that you'd send out your word with us on our lips, that we might be faithful witnesses to you and the hope that we have in you, and the grace and forgiveness and mercy that we have in you, to those that you place into our lives. In your name we pray. Amen. All right. Thank you, guys.